Do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by that believing, you may have life in his name.
Great. Well, keep sight of that bit of the Bible, because I'm going to be asking questions as we go. And there should be some slides coming up behind me. I just want to ask a question before we look at this passage that we can all start to think about, however old we are or however young we are. Are you ever frightened because you're a Christian? Are you ever frightened because you're a Christian? It might be that you're frightened of what people might think of you at school were they to know that you go to church or that you read your Bible. Or that you come to Sunday club. It might be that there's guys that you play football with, and you're frightened, if you're truthful with yourself, of what they might think if they find out that you go to church. Or it might be that you're out with your friends of an evening, whatever teenagers do of an evening, and you're just a bit frightened that they might ask you what you've been doing. Or you're a bit frightened that they might find out that you go to camp or to Friday club. Or to Holiday Bible Club. Or maybe it's us grown-ups. Are we frightened about what people might think at work? Or fearful how people might misunderstand us, even within our own family? Because they clearly don't really understand what Christianity is about. Well, there's some pictures up there that might help us think about that. There's some bullies there. There's somebody on their own. And you know, somebody who's a sort of bit of a Trekkie, you know, bit of a geek. Sorry if there are any here this morning. I'm really not trying to, you know, I won't dig a bigger hole for myself. But are we fearful? Because you see, the disciples were frightened, weren't they? Have a look at the passage we had read. Verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. See, the disciples were frightened, weren't they? Now, we just need to lock the doors. I want us to imagine that we're in that room with the disciples. Yes, there's a bit more of us than there were then, but the Jews were outside, and they had just killed the Son of God, just killed Jesus. So, understandably, everybody's frightened. So, I want somebody to come and lock all the doors, please. Volunteer. Just to go around and lock all the doors. Was that a hand? No. Go on, then. Hugo, do you want to grab the key? I know that don't worry. This isn't that frightening. Anybody happy to take the key and just go around and lock all the doors? Fantastic. Thank you. Because we can even be frightened of things here, can't we? And if we're frightened of things even in church, are we going to be frightened of standing up as a Christian outside church? Of course we are. Of course we are. But the great news is that the Lord Jesus has come and deal with our fears. How did he deal with the disciples' fears? I mean, can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine being in this room and all the doors are locked because you're worried that people might come and hunt you down and kill you because that's just what they've done to your Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus? Well, what does Jesus do? Have a look at verse 19. Great, thank you. Thank you, Charlie, sorry. Have a look at verse 19. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he'd said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Can you see what Jesus has done? He's appeared in this situation where they're fearful, and they are now overjoyed because they can see that he's alive. Now, I want three volunteers, please, to come and hold some signs out. Two there. One more volunteer. Yeah, at the back there. Is that a hand? Yeah, great. Out you come. There we go. Now, here's a clue. How did they feel? They were overjoyed. Jesus was now alive. The one who'd been killed was now among them, and he was showing them his hands and side. And look, you know, this is where they put the nails, and this is where they put the spear, and go, just feel me. I'm real alive. And he'd appeared in a room with locked doors. So they were overjoyed. Now, ask yourself a question. Is that how you feel as a Christian? Even some of the time. That is the feeling we should have if we believe in the truth of the resurrection. Death cannot conquer our Lord Jesus. He has dealt with all our sins. We are going to glory. We are going to heaven. All the things that he said are true and proven because he was standing there in front of his disciples. And they saw it, and they've written it down for us so that we too can believe exactly the same thing, that Jesus is alive. So just ask yourself the question, are you still afraid? Yes, of course we're afraid, aren't we? We battle with fears, lots of different fears in our lives. What is the truth that we need to keep our minds fixed on? It is that Jesus is alive. He has been raised from the dead. So everything he taught is true. It's a historical fact. It's been witnessed and passed down to us by Jesus' best friend John. We can read his words. But what does that mean for us? Well, have a look at what Jesus says to his disciples next. What does he say to his disciples next? As the Father, oh, this is breathtaking, isn't it? Isn't this breathtaking? As the Father has sent me. We know how Jesus was sent by the Father into the world to save the world. As the Father has sent me, I, he says to his disciples, am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. He's sending, look, the mission that I have been given, the Lord Jesus, is now the mission of the disciples, the 12 apostles, but also the church. That's you and me. We are sent, as Jesus has been sent, into the world to bring people to a knowledge of Jesus so that they are what? Forgiven. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Hands up if you are a three. Hands up if you're three here. Are you three? Anybody here who's three? Yeah, hands up here if you're 13. 13. Hands up if you're 23. Moving quickly on. Yeah, Andy's. Yeah, great. So we'll stop the age. But you get the idea. Everybody, whatever age we are, we've been given, if we're Christians here this morning, we've been given a job to do. Do you want to just turn around these signs? Do you want to turn that one as well? Yeah, we like rejoicing in what Jesus has done for us, but the resurrection gives us something to do. It's almost surprising, isn't it, grown-ups, that here is Jesus appearing to his disciples for the first time. They're overjoyed, and within a breath, he's telling them what their job is. Can we see how these two things go together? Yes, we want to rejoice in the resurrection, in the hope that we have, but we have a wonderful job to be doing for the rest of our lives, however much we've got left, because we've got a message that can bring other people to be forgiven and to know the joy of eternal life that we have. Now, well done, you three. Do you want to just put those signs back down on there? That'd be great. Just as we close this first talk, I wanted to think what that means for each of us. Well done, you three. That's great. If we know that Jesus is alive, he sends us as his people to bring the message of eternal life and forgiveness of sins to others. What's that going to look like? Okay, school, it's not tomorrow, is it? But it's Tuesday. Do you see that the reason why you're at school, part of the reason why you're at school, yes, it's to do work and to pass exams, and that's all very important, but also, you have been sent by Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, he has given you a job to do in your school. Work. Probably will be tomorrow morning for many of us. But what is the reason for our work? Yes, it's to earn money. Yes, it's to do our jobs well. And we're not supposed to be preaching the gospel when we're supposed to be doing our jobs. But if you believe in the resurrection, Jesus has sent you into the world as the Father sent him into the world. Hasn't he? That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. We've got the message of forgiveness. Yes, I know there's lots of objections. Yeah, but I can't raise this, at the office meeting. I can't. But there's opportunities. Some of us here are Christians because somebody at work shared the gospel with us. What about at home? Do we see ourselves as being sent home with a mission from Jesus? Sent into the world, yes, but maybe our spouse isn't a Christian, or maybe our parents aren't Christians, or maybe our brothers and sisters aren't Christians, or maybe our cousins aren't Christians, or maybe our grandparents aren't Christians. If we believe in the resurrection, we've been sent by Jesus. Now we're going to sing a song that reminds us that this is what every Christian's job is, if you like, to be sent into the world. And we're going to sing it as we did last time. So the women are going to sing to the men and say, "Come on, men, rise up and sing of this great and glorious King." And then the men are going to sing of the women, "Come on, women, rise up, women of the truth." So we're going to encourage each other. Now, if you're not a man or a woman yet, you're a boy or a girl, you know which one to join in with, okay? Yes? In anticipation of being men and women. Okay, so let's stand and sing this to one another, and then we join together. So we've just learned that two things go together, our joy and peace with the risen Lord Jesus and the job that he's given us to do. And the two go together. Maybe as we were listening to the challenge, if you like, to go into our school or to go into our workplace and bring the knowledge of Jesus, we thought, oh, this all sounds a bit too, you know, enthusiastic. Oh, can't I just be the kind of Christian who comes and rejoices in the Lord on a Sunday and sort of is a bit quiet midweek? Isn't that okay? John, surely isn't it your job? You're the one who's supposed to be telling people about Jesus. Not all of ours, is it? Well, the wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus knows how we feel, and he deals with this guy Thomas. Because Thomas is a bit of a cynic, really, isn't he? He doubts, but basically he doesn't want to do what Jesus wants him to do. Ever feel like that? I just don't really want to do, Lord Jesus, what you want me to do. And Jesus' message to Thomas and to people like Thomas, and I guess we're all a bit like Thomas, aren't we, is stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe. Because Thomas wasn't there, was he? Now, imagine that all the doors are still locked. And the next slide's just going to show us. You feel a bit sorry for Thomas, don't you? Because he wasn't there. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Now, I want one volunteer, please. Just one volunteer. Great. How you come, Benny? Now, I just want you to come and tell us what is in this box. Can you just look in that box and tell us what's in there?
Sweeties.
Well, I just don't believe you, I'm afraid. I really don't believe you. I mean, you're a fairly sensible chap, I'm sure, but can anybody else come and Hugo? Suddenly there's hands up. Hugo, can you just tell us what's in there?
Sweets.
Sweets, yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sure you're very reliable, but I just need a few more people to assure me. Gabby, do you want to come out? Yeah? Ollie? Yeah? Yeah? What's in there?
Sweets.
Oh, I don't believe you.
What's in there?
Sweets.
You haven't even looked. What's in there?
Sweets.
Yeah, sweets. Well, what do you think's in there? I still don't believe you. I think they're all nutters. You know, complete nutters. And we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We need at least another 5. Out you come. Can you tell me what's in here? Those of you who haven't seen yet. Yeah, Ryan?
Yeah, they're sweets.
That's, I don't believe you. Zoe?
Sweets,
yeah. Can you see?
Yeah, sweets.
No, I still don't believe you. I just think you're all complete nutters. You just, I don't know, somebody's tricking you or something. We need somebody older, somebody a bit wiser, somebody a bit more, you know, intellectually credible. Anybody out there? A grown-up? Oh, come on. Kim Graham, yeah.
No, it's leaves, actually.
Well, there's always going to be somebody who mucks up the illustration, that's fine. Do you get the idea? 11, at least, of Thomas's friends had told him, we have seen the Lord Jesus, much more important than some sweets in a box. But Thomas is the kind of guy who will not accept what his friends tell him, even though they say, we've seen him, we've touched him, we've seen the Lord. And is the issue in Thomas really that he can't believe what they're saying? Of course it isn't. The real issue for Thomas is he doesn't like what they're saying because it will have to change his heart. He doesn't want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's raised. Now, you've all been very good. So do you want to take one of the things that you did see carefully without too much competition? Because can you see what Thomas's problem was? Thomas's problem was that he was so in love with himself, so keen to live life for himself, that he didn't want to have to live his life for this Lord Jesus. And if the Lord Jesus was going to tell him to go and proclaim what had happened and have to die for it, which is what Thomas eventually had to do, and most of the apostles had to do, well, he just didn't want to do it. But God was gracious to him, wasn't he? Have a look at how Jesus deals with Thomas. On to the next slide. A week later, another Sunday evening, exactly the same time, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. You see, it wasn't that Thomas didn't have enough evidence to believe. He didn't want to believe. He didn't like the implications of Jesus being God. And so what was Thomas's response when he did believe? What does he have to repent of and say? He says, my Lord and my God. He realizes that Jesus is Lord and God, and he calls the shots. And Jesus does have the right to tell him to go and to spread this message, whatever that might mean for Thomas. And it did mean death. And Jesus rebukes Thomas. Thomas, you've got enough evidence to believe. Stop doubting and believe. And it may be that there's some of us here this morning who have enough evidence to believe. We've heard the evidence. We know it's compelling. We know that it makes sense, but we don't like it. We don't like the impact it would have on our lives were it to be true. And yet God is the kind of God who will demonstrate himself to us as he demonstrated himself to Thomas, not maybe by physical resurrection, but he's given us the Holy Spirit who convicts us of that attitude of hearts that we have, which doesn't want to live for Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. In other words, the way that God works now is by us hearing the witness, the eyewitness testimony of John who was there, of John who saw these things. And by that eyewitness testimony and the work of the Holy Spirit on us, we have enough to believe. God says we have enough to believe. Now, we're just going to make sure we've got this clear, because I know a lot of people say, well, I can't have faith, as if it's something which is impossible. But it's not impossible, because it's something that God works in us as we come to him. Now, I want three volunteers. Don't worry, the last volunteers. Yeah, one there. Ryan. And, yeah, you three guys. Right, I want you to glue your eyes to verses 30 and 31, and I want us to answer a question together. How do people come to faith? How do people, when we can't see in front of us Jesus' resurrection body, how is it that today we come to believe? How is it that we can be like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God, and know that we have eternal life? Now, there's three things here. We've got faith or believing. We've got the word, God's word, and we've got eternal life. What order do these things happen in, according to verses 30 and 31? What comes first? I'll just read it. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And there's an order here, which is very, very helpful for people. Yeah, Benny? That's fantastic. Well done. Do you want to just swap over? So you go in the... Okay, well done. Hold it up nice and... So we have the written eyewitness testimony, John says, which enables people to believe. That's why he's written his book. So faith comes not by seeing somebody raised from the dead, but by reading the word, reading the Bible. That's how we become Christians. That's how we carry on in joyful and peaceful lives with the Lord Jesus, isn't it? And that's how we get eternal life. So the book that you have, just maybe a few inches away from you, is the way, if you don't have eternal life, you can get eternal life. Read it so that you can believe in it and have eternal life. And maybe as Christians, we've sort of dropped off in our Bible reading. Maybe the word that we know sustains our faith and joy in the Lord Jesus. We're not really that bothered about the Bible anymore. Well, let's come back. If we want that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus that Thomas had, saying, my Lord and my God, let's come back to feeding ourselves. As we enter a new term, let's resolve to feed ourselves on that word that brings faith and eternal life. Well done, you three. Go and grab a seat. Now, how are we going to respond to what we've heard from God's word this morning? Maybe we think this is all just talk. Well, not so according to John. John says, whoever believes in the Son has life. Whoever does not believe in the Son will not see life because God's wrath, his just anger and judgment remains on that person. This isn't just words. It's not just talk. Maybe we're struggling to believe. Will we come to the Lord Jesus this morning and say, Lord, please help me to believe. Please be my God. Please be my Lord. Maybe we're struggling with fears in the Christian life. Will we come back and say, Lord, would you feed my soul? Would you strengthen my faith through your word? Help me to come to church regularly. Help me to be faithful in small group. Help me to have quiet times that are regular. Help me to pray to you as I should. But maybe for some of us here this morning, we need to say this morning, my Lord and my God. Maybe there's some of us who know that we're not those who have eternal life, but we need to say, yes, there's enough evidence. It's to do with my heart and not wanting to live for you, Lord Jesus. Would you be my Lord and my God this morning? Well, let's just turn that desire into a prayer, and then we're going to sing along those lines. Lord, thank you that for so many of us here, you are our Lord. We can say to you, my Lord and my God. Thank you that we can say to you that we have eternal life, that we've believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we pray for all those here this morning, known maybe only to you, who cannot say, my Lord and my God, would you open their hearts, help them to come before you now and to know that you are their Lord and God. Amen.